So the plan for today is to discuss the history of spectator sports and theater in Halacha, right? So Judaism has a long and complicated history with entertainment, and the question is, what is that history, and how does that affect our way of relating to it nowadays? So I hope everybody's hopefully been able to open up the story sheet. If not, please let me know. So I'd like to start by reading the first source on the page. By the way, my name is Chaim Metzger. I'm a rabbinic assistant at the Bayit, as well as a member of Beit Midrash Zichron Dov. Thank you, everybody, for joining the fall Beit Midrash series. There will be more installments of this as well. It'll be every Wednesday night for the next couple of weeks at 8:15. So to start us off, so we're going to be starting by looking at the sources in at so they're not quite at canonized sources just yet. We are at Jewish sources. The first source we have is from First Maccabees. So we have Hanukkah coming up, so I'm sure people are very excited about Hanukkah preparations. So something that often is a hallmark of Hanukkah is the Makabiyah, right? Sporting events surround, done by many Jewish teams surrounding Hanukkah, because after all, wasn't it such a great thing that we do that? But what a great way of leading up to Hanukkah. There's only one problem with that. Whoever organized it probably never read the Book of Maccabees, where they would definitely not have named it the Makabiyah. So to explain that, so first I'm going to do a little background on the Book of Maccabees. So the Book of Maccabees, so there's a couple of Books of Maccabees, right? There's one, two, three, and four. We'll deal with only the first and the second ones, because those are written within, a couple decades of the miracle of Hanukkah having occurred. Most of the other ones were written a little bit later. So in it, the so the so again, who the exact writers are is unclear. They're definitely written by people who are very much pro the Maccabees and the Hasmonean dynasty. But the question is, so there's been a debate as to why they, as to like, what they wrote, why they wrote it. But again, that's more for academics to deal with. It's not for us. What we want to look at is why on earth am I quoting this, and why is that relevant? So first, let's look at First Maccabees, which is the oldest source, which gives reasons for why. This is giving reasons for why what made the Jews so upset that they ended up rebelling, right? They were, previously under Alexander the Great, the Jews were happy. Why all of a sudden were the Jews upset at the Greeks who were in charge? So this is one of several incidents that led to this. So the ones that everybody probably remembers is that the Jews weren't allowed to learn Torah. They weren't given, autonomy over the temple. But there's other things too. So would anybody like to read? It's first number one. It's in English. Can everybody see it? If not, I'll share. If somebody's having a hard time finding it, I'll share a screen. Do you have any volunteers? Okay, I'll read the first one. And then we'll see about the next one. Okay, so in those days, certain renegades came out from Israel and misled many, saying, "Let us go and make a covenant with the Gentiles around us, for since we separated from them, many disasters have come upon us." This proposal pleased them, and some of the people eagerly went to the king, who authorized them to observe the ordinances of the Gentiles. So they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem according to Gentile custom, removed the marks of circumcision, and abandoned the Holy Covenant. They joined with the Gentiles and sold themselves to do evil. So based on this, how would you rate going to the gym in Judaism from this, based on what we're seeing here? Would we say it's a good thing, or would it be the devil's work, if not worse? Right, so I'm seeing some smiles, some chuckles, right, some thumbs down, right. Definitely, it's going to be basically it's pretty bad. very little else to say. It's just bad, right? So again, so in terms of what they potential of what they violated, so in addition to follow to adopting Gentile customs which aren't their own, they undo their marks of circumcision, which is an offense that's punishable by karet, meaning being literally removed from the Jewish people spiritually, as well as they're also in the process of whatever they're doing in the gym, they're also abandoning the rest of the Holy Covenant, the rest of the Torah as well. In case you were unclear as to why that's bad, it's they're selling themselves to do evil. So that's pretty bad. But don't worry, it gets worse. All right, this is just one version of what of the role that the gymnasium played in terms of leading to the eventual revolt. All right, so this was the Jews selling themselves to evil. The way they showed that they're selling themselves to evil, meaning by selling themselves to evil means selling themselves to Hellenization and abandoning the Jewish people. The way you do that is you go to the gym. So looking pretty bad for the Jews. So then it gets worse. So who here has ever heard of Jason and the Argonauts? Right, Elaine's raising her hand. Right, is he raising his hand? So would you say that naming that if the Kohen Gadol all the time's name was Jason, what would that seem to indicate about him?
The Kohen's name is Jason, and there was this Jason of Aragon. So, what does that show about the Kohen?
Right. So, Grandma, what do you think? There's the rightful Kohen Gadol, which is Matityahu, right, who we've heard of. But there's also the not rightful Kohen Gadol, which is the one who bought his right to be Kohen Gadol, which is name whose name is Jason. So what do we think about him, just from his name? What does that imply?
It's a Gentile name.
The Gentile name, right? Sure, he's technically Jewish, but you know what good Jew names himself after after a pagan myth, right? That's pretty bad, right? So, in case you're wondering if he's really whether or not he's bad or not, so we'll look at we'll read the second source and we'll see just how bad he really is. So this is the second Maccabees. It's a little bit later than the first Maccabees. It was originally written in Greek, which tells you a little something about the audience at the time that weren't necessarily, yes, they were Jewish. They may have been a little Hellenized at the end of the day, but we'll leave that aside. And we'll focus on what the problems were with what Jason did. So he took delight in establishing a gymnasium right under the citadel. So they've actually have found some remnants of this, right out of some sort of theater or gymnasium. They've actually have found a small one. They found it by the base of the Western Wall. So he's very happy that he could do this. And what was the result of his doing so? There was such an extreme of Hellenization, right? So this was part of the wicked Jason's policies that he was trying to do to make everybody else be more Greek. So what ends up happening that he is so successful in his Hellenization plan that the priests were no longer intent upon their service at the altar, despising the sanctuary and neglecting the sacrifices. They hurried to take part in the lawful proceedings in the wrestling arena after the signal for the discus throwing, disdaining the honors prized by their ancestors, and putting the highest value upon Greek forms of prestige. So right now we have, let's see. So what goes wrong in this scenario, right? So we're not saying that, the average person happens to be, joining the games. If that were the case, that'd be one level maybe of bad, like we had before. But there's a different level of bad. Not only are they not only are people going, which is that means they're Hellenized, but the Kohanim, the priests who should be, serving the temple, Instead, they abandon the temple and go and run and go to the wrestling arena, the discus throwing, right? So they're disdaining the honors of their ancestors for that of the Greeks. So this seems quite terrible and bad, and there seems to be nothing redeeming them. I don't even know why any of them even, like, did anybody of them really care? Like, were they all just, you know, super into, into the games, and they, like, you know, Judaism, whatever, you know, I'll go play ball, I'll go wrestle, I'll go enjoy watching, and, you know, somebody else will do it, it'll be fine. So, not looking so promising. But the question is, was this happening, how widespread was this? Right? So then clearly it's just that the priests are neglecting their word duty, but as in, was it necessarily all that bad? So then, like, how far do the rest of the people fall? So it seems like the priests are pretty bad, right? They're neglecting their duties in order to go do this. So as far as, does this happen nowadays or not? Well, the answer is that, let's say, this is for American football, this issue hasn't come up. Of, you know, abandoning, you know, skipping out on services in order to go, you know, to go watch the game, because American football games always make sure to start in the afternoon, because that way everybody has time to go to church on Sunday mornings, so there's no conflict. So they smartly avoided the issue there, but as opposed to here, well, they decided, you know what, like a conflict, and well, the game's won. So, yeah, not so good. But as far as the rest of the people go, how far gone were they? So the rest of the people. So again, I apologize for we're a little skipping around a little bit in Maccabees. If you want to go read it inside. This is the fourth chapter of Second Maccabees. If you'd like to go, you know, read more of the story, it's very entertaining. So now here we're talking about one part of the degree of the Hellenization is that they used to have Olympics that the Jewish people took part in. So in the quadrennial games, right, what nowadays we would call the Olympics, were being held in Tyre, which is north of Israel. And the king was present, meaning the Greek king of the area. So the vile Jason, in case you're wondering whether or not the writer likes Jason or not, he's called Vile. And he chose him as being Antiochian citizens from Jerusalem to carry 300 silver drachmas for the sacrifice to Hercules. Right? So the vile Jason, not only is he, Hellenizing everybody, he's also giving donations to pagan idol worship. So those who carried the money, however, thought best not to use it for sacrifice because that was inappropriate, but to expend it for another purpose. So they said, you know, we shouldn't do it for that. The people were like, nah, we could play in the games, but like, we're not actually giving money to worship Hercules. That's too much. So another purpose, depending on the version of Maccabees you have, or the commentary on it, it could either be, you know, they donated to the upkeep of the stadium, or they donated it to the defense of the city. So that way they wouldn't be directly, you know, donating to idol worship. So the people somehow thought that, you know, participating is okay, as long as you don't actually engage in praying to Hercules. But on the other hand, we have the vile Jason, who's, you know, thinking, you know, we should worship Hercules because he's a man. So that's a little bit of a problem. So with that as the background, right, and this is the degree that these stories being the degree of Hellenization that were happening in amongst the Jewish people, it's understandable why the people who, you know, aren't Hellenized would very much want to rebel against the Greeks, who are forcing these things and making everybody Hellenized, and they're like, yeah, we don't want that. And even those who are Hellenized weren't necessarily as Hellenized as some of the leaders were, who were saying we should actually worship, you know, foreign deities, but they still were Hellenized to a large extent. And that's the background, so the backdrop to what led to the problem of Hanukkah. So now, in case you're thinking that, oh, this is only an issue before Hanukkah, and then we moved on and we never dealt with it ever again. So my answer to that is, well, that's not quite true. So this happens again. Now we're fast forwarding a century and a half. Now we're in the time of King Herod. So Herod the Great, who many people will recognize the name because he's the one who constructed most things when you go to Israel to see. He built it. Most of the Western Wall. He built Caesarea. He built the large structure over Marat Machpelah and Hebron that you see nowadays, amongst many, many, many other projects that he is in charge of building. As well as, you know, he revamped the Beit HaMikdash and expanded the plaza. Again, many things he did. But sometimes Herod got into hot water with the people. So as far as why, so that we have the historian Josephus, right? So Josephus is a Jew, a self-proclaimed Pharisee, meaning, you know, of what we now call the Rabbinites, the rabbinic tradition. And so, you know, he had been a general for the Jews, and then, you know, after he lost the battle, he surrendered and decided and asked the Romans if, hey, can I, you know, be a record keeper, an historian, because like in exchange for my life? And they're like, sure. So they just spent the rest of his life writing histories for the in Greek for the Roman Empire. To try and most of what he was trying to defend the case of the Jews and explain why the Jews weren't really so bad and they really didn't mean to rebel the several dozen times led rebellions all across the Roman Empire. It was just because, you know, if you push certain buttons, they're going to rebel. But they don't really want to rebel. They're just, you know, stop messing with them in certain ways and they'll stop rebelling all over the place. So this is one of those examples of why the Jewish people were upset at Herod, right? So King Herod was, you know, was Jewish. But on the other hand, even the throne was in question, many other things. So one of the things, he had many policies that were ingratiated himself with the Romans, but made everybody else angry. So that would be, so this is one example of where he made everybody upset. Okay, so again, so this was written around, you know, 80, this is in terms of the Jews, it was written around 80 or so Common Era. So a little less than 2,000 years ago, this is his writing describing events that happened at the turn of the millennium, like about 60 years earlier. So when Herod first took over, when he was there, so one of the things that he did in terms of making this, making the Jewish nation more palatable to the Romans and everyone else, so that way they'd be able to keep their autonomy, is he started doing things that made them look more like the Roman or Greek. So one of the things is that Herod revolted from the laws of his country and corrupted their ancient constitution by the introduction of foreign practices, which constitution yet ought to have been preserved inviolable. In the first place, he appointed solemn games to be celebrated every fifth year in honor of Caesar, and built a theater at Jerusalem, as well as a very great amphitheater in the plain. But opposite to the Jewish customs, for we have no such shows delivered down to us to be used or exhibited by us. But to natural Jews, this is no better than a dissolution of those customs for which they held so great a veneration. Okay, so what's the first, so what's Herod doing that gets everybody so upset? What do we think? Based on what we've learned, what we read earlier, what was the problem? He started up the games. We didn't just abolish them in the midst of why we had this whole, you know, revolts and, you know, and everything was all about getting rid of that. So that's pretty bad. But there's also an interesting caveat here that the issue was that it's opposite to Jewish customs because we have no such show delivered to us. Which may mean the problem was that, at least for the theater part, what made them upset the most was that they were showing Greek and Roman myths and stories as part of the games. But maybe if the show was Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, maybe they'd have been okay with it. But alas, that was not the case. So what were they doing that made everybody upset? So we have a couple of examples. What we saw them doing in these Roman games that were held in the Jewish nation. Right? So it appeared also no better than an instance of barefaced impiety to throw men to wild beasts for the fording delight of the spectators. And it appeared an instance of no less impiety to change their laws for such foreign exercises. But above all the rest, the trophies gave the most distaste to the Jews, for as they imagined them to be images included within the armor that hung around them, they were so displeased with them because it was not the custom of their country to pay honor to such images. So there's three other issues mentioned. Right? One is that this is against the Jewish tradition. But there's also one issue is what type of games were they? Has anybody here seen the gladiator running chess? I'll assume at least one person has, right? So the Gladiator, Russell, good movie, a little gory, which is very gory, right? So what goes on there? Like that was pretty par for the course at a given games. You were this wild beast. Hope that the men don't die. They probably will. People are cheering, all in good fun. But the Jews' reaction was like, wait, why are we killing people for sport? This is terrible. So that was a problem. One, killing people over the course of the games is no good. Okay, then we also have an issue, we mentioned the issue of changing the Jewish laws to be the Greek or Roman laws. But you think that those are really bad. What's the strangest thing is that what makes people upset is the trophies. Right? The trophies that you got at the end for winning. That had, the images of the that had graven images of unclear what is if it's depicted on them, but the fact that you had a trophy at the end that you won was a problem because they thought that's a Vodazara. Like everybody's worshiping the trophy, which if you've watched the conclusion of a sporting event and you see whether that be the way that people relate to the Stanley Cup. The reverence they have, or insert your favorite sport here, whatever the golden figurine, whether it be for Emmy, again, insert, it could be for theater, also like all these trophies that you get, right? The way people seem to revere them, if you didn't know better, you would think that they're worshiping them. And that's exactly what the Jews thought. And in fact, they probably were worshiping them because other of the idols actually did have images of actual idolatry at the time on them. So nowadays, it was like, oh, no, they're just happy they won. But like back then, it's like you're kissing and hugging a idol in the shape of Hercules, let's say. Like there's nothing else to say besides like, you're an idol worshiper. Like we're going to have to stone you now. Like there's nothing else to do now. Like we're going to kill you. Like that's it. So, right. So that's the problem. So based on what we've read so far, what do we think? Are we allowed to participate or watch sporting events? What do we think? Or any form of anything entertaining? What do we think? Allowed or not allowed? Feel free to unmute.
It's very negative. But I don't know if you compare what was going on then to what's going on now.
Right, we'll get there, right? But then from here, right, also bear in mind, none of this, again, anything that happens, things written in Maccabees as well as written in Josephus are not, have anything to do with our current laws. They're interesting historical accounts. They don't necessarily have anything to do with, our actual current practice. So, you could say, oh, like, whatever. You could throw away all those reasons. They don't matter, right? And just say, like, we can just disregard them. Or we can say, oh, our games are different. It's fine. But is that really, can we really do that? So again, so let me just sum up the, some of the reasons we've given, and then we'll move on to the next section where we start getting into the stuff, the more rabbinic literature. So we have issues that came up with the advent of sport in the Hasmonean time, as well as the time of Herod, relating to sports, is that we had people, besides people are Hellenizing, they're abandoning various mitzvot because they were undoing their circumcisions because they wanted to be perfect like the Greeks, and that's why they were doing that. They were donating money to idol worship. They potentially were raising up trophies as idol worship. They were also, you know, watching people eaten to death for entertainment, and all of those are like five really bad things that went down. And therefore, people aren't happy. And also, again, and these are all part of the larger umbrella, and it's seemingly here, of them being foreign practices of the Greeks and idolatrous. Right? So definitely nothing good seemingly coming out of this. So now I'd like to, so again, the source sheets, we're now in source number 4. So now this, we're fast forwarding. So now we're at the Tosefta of Avodah Zarah, right? Which is, you know, second or third century CE. Right, so this is the parallel to the Mishnah, right? Written by the sages, right? The Mishnah were the more famous ones that got, you know, and a little more accepted that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi compiled in what he then called the Mishnah. The ones that didn't quite get it in are called Tosefta, the additional ones. So these are right, and they tend to parallel the Mishnah, and so that now this is the tractate of Avodah Zarah, idolatry, right? Tosefta Avodah Zarah. So again, we're just gonna go straight into the English because the again, in interest of time, I'm gonna try and get everything in time. If I don't, I sincerely apologize. So I had to end up, I have to summarize some outside, but I think we should be okay. So. Now we're finally getting to, are we allowed to go to the theater or not? So answer is, one should not go to the theaters of non-Jews because entertainments are arranged there in honor of the idols. Okay, so this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So, right, why can't, so are you allowed to go to the theater? Nope, theater's forbidden because it's dedicated to pagan deities, and that's it. But the sages say, where such entertainment are given, there is the prohibition being suspected of idolatrous worship, and where such entertainment is given the prohibition that where and where such entertainment is not given, the prohibition because of being in the seat of the scornful. So you're right. So the Chacham are like, true, if they are, you know, worshiping this is the game of Hercules, like we had before, that's a problem. But even if they aren't, it's just they're having it for fun, just because they want to. Nothing to do with any deity. There's a separate problem called Moshe of Leitzim in Hebrew or English, or in English, the seat of the scornful. So the question then is, what on earth is going on here, right? So we understand the whole if it's idolatrous part, but what on earth is going on with this whole seat of the scornful? Like, why, what is that? Where's that from? What's the source? So don't worry, we'll get there in just a second. So that's the next lot, the next section of the Tosefta, that those who, so in case you're thinking this might only apply to theaters, don't worry. We'll expand the prohibition in a little bit. Those who visit stadiums or circuses and witness there the performance of sorcerers and enchanters or of Bukyun, Mukyun, Lulyun, Mulyun, Blurin, or Salgurin, lo, this is the seat of the scornful. And against those who visit them, the scripture says in Tehillim, again, the first chapter, the first verse, happy is the man that hath walked in the council of the wicked, that had not walked in the council of the wicked, nor sat in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. From here you can infer that those things cause one to neglect the Torah. Okay. So now, we have just listed, in case you're wondering what we've listed just now, we listed basically every form of entertainment that existed in the times of the Mishnah. That's basically everything that you, if you ever, like, you know, go to the Colosseum, in Rome or anywhere else. And you're like, oh, what do they do here? So we just listed every performance that they have on the playbill, or on the, you know, the order of events for the day, all of them. In case some of the weird ones in the middle that ended Ion and you have no idea what they are. So all of those are different performances of different comedians and mimes. So, and I'd like to point out that what is the Hebrew word for, anybody know what the Hebrew word for clown is? Okay,
Leitzan.
Leitzan. Right? So Leitzan. So, right? So, I see Mark made a good joke too. So what are these clowns? So these clowns are called leitzim. So when we say Moshe, like we're leitzan, right? Leitzam, leitzim, Moshav, leitzim. Ah, right? So not only, so the rabbis pulled their own pun in banning all humor. So now you're forced to be subjected only to rabbinic humor. No more good comedians, only bad rabbi jokes in shul. So, right? Essentially, you know, that's the problem. But there's still the other question, but I'd like to focus more on the last section, right? So notice that it's all based on a verse, the first verse of Psalms, of Tehillim, and it's saying infer that those things cause one to neglect the Torah. So what's going on, and why are they saying that, and what's the story here? So important thing to note is a little bit about the role that the stadiums and theaters played in the time of the Romans. So while initially they may have been there for, you know, dedication in terms of, you know, to the gods, right? The original Greek games most definitely were. But eventually, in the time of the Romans, they morphed into something more of a public service, right? You wanted the people to be happy, and they had this slight issue on their hands of there being a large class of the people who had a lot of money, also had former soldiers who were currently off duty. And if you didn't control them, or give them something to do, they would end up getting into fights all day and rioting in the streets. So they decided, I have this great plan. We'll put on all day entertainment, and that way people won't be upset, right? Even if, as long as you're entertained, nobody's going to rebel. They'll be happy. They'll be paying their taxes. They'll be good citizens as long as they're placated. So if anybody thinks that sounds similar to today, I didn't say that, but... Right, but that was the goal back then. And in fact, that's why it continued even long after even when the Roman Empire fell, or started to fall, the games didn't disappear until the church, around the 7th or 8th century decided that, you know, there was no, that, that they had to absolutely ban it. But until then, right, again, so initially when the church took over, they got rid of all the killing of things because, like, well, that was pretty bad. But the rest of the entertainment stuff they kept around for a while until they saw that, you know, the problem is, what do you mean by that it leads to you to neglect the Torah? So an issue with the concept of wasting all of your time, right? The Hebrew here is batel mitalmud Torah, right? That you, or as you may have heard colloquially called bittel Torah, right? So one thing is that it's invented for entertainment. Like that's the classic example of what is bittel Torah? The answer is entertainment. And I like to focus again that the point of entertainment then was to waste everybody's time, right? If people are, you know, are considered to be happy and have spent all their time doing something else, then they won't be upset. So instead, what we're going to do is the goal of the Romans was to keep you happy and placated by going. The rabbis are like, that's not the point of our lives, and simply, you know, watch a show and enjoy. Like, we have stuff to do. We have mitzvot to do. And if you spend all day simply sitting at the theater, that's not what a good Jewish person is supposed to do. You're supposed to, there's things to do. You're supposed to learn Torah. You're supposed to do mitzvot. You can't simply spend all day lounging around at the stadium. And hence, they tried prohibiting because of Moshe of Leitzim, Bittel Talmud Torah, invented right here, right now. There's only one slight problem. How do you think people reacted to this? So the answer is not well, as we'll see in the Tosefta. So, right. So, okay. So I noted that in the English translation, it's a little out of order. So, yeah. So let me here. So okay. So here. So I'll read. So here. So we meant. We'll go the order we have here. Fine. Okay. So going to an istarton of the English. So going to an istarton, which is the gladiatorial arena, this is considered to be murder. So like we had before, it's terrible. But wait, don't worry. It's not so bad. It is permitted to go to stadiums because by shouting, one may save the victim. Right? Because they used to say, because basically if the person had lost the battle but hadn't yet been killed, if they didn't put on a good enough of a show and you cheered loud enough, then thumbs up versus thumb down, right? Thumb up, live or die. So that's what that's what could be accomplished. On the other hand, the Rabbi Natan adds another reason. Because first, because shouting, so Rabbi Natan is one of the Tanaim. So he says, it's permitted because one may save the victim. Secondly, because one might be able to give evidence of the death of the wife of a victim and so enable one to prevent her to remarry. So now even more reasons to do so. Now the question here is, what? How is this all of a sudden okay now? Like I thought it wasn't okay. Right? Now we're giving reasons. And as far as before, we thought this would be like, just for, the not so bad ones of, a show, this is, allowing you to go to one if you'll actually die in front of you for entertainment. And he has three reasons why it's okay. So before, we'll hold off on the theories just yet, because we're not quite done. There's some more examples. We also say that if you were to go to the theater of non-Jews, right? So you're allowed to go for the purpose of maintaining order of the country, providing he does not conspire with them. But if he does so to conspire, that's a problem. So this one is referring to the theaters. And now it's allowed. Wait, so I'm confused now. Wait, so how is that possible? How did we go from it being a problem of Biddle Talmud Torah, right, of wasting your time, seat of the scornful, potentially, or even maybe of Avodah Zarah, to all of a sudden we're letting you go for these other reasons? So what do we think? What happened? Okay, so I'd like to suggest that what happened was that the rabbis tried enacting this. The first stage, we saw in the beginning, right, with Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, they tried. They said it's forbidden. It's Biddle Talmud Torah. They explained why. But what happened? Everybody ignored them. And instead, they went. So then they, they said, you really shouldn't go. But there's sometimes when it's okay. So, when is it okay? It's okay if you're doing it for the needs of politics. You need to lobby the governor and he happens to say that, I don't have time to talk to you, but come to the game and then we'll talk, then it's okay. Or if it's because, even if you're in the stands, it's like, look, you really shouldn't be there. People are dying. But they're going to die anyways, whether or not the Jews go to watch or not. But at least if the Jews go, we can at least root for the poor slave who's being murdered right now. So hopefully he'll survive. And if we don't cheer loud enough and he dies, well, at least somebody will tell his wife that he passed away, and that way she won't be that way she'll be able to remarry. So, and that's seemingly how it concludes. So and if you were to look at there's a restructuring of this in the Babylonian Talmud, which we're not going to have time to get into, I don't think. Basically, I'm looking at the time. So again, it quotes the Tosefta in a different order, right? It starts with the long list of what's forbidden first, and then mentioning the reasons why you're allowed to go, and then only then mentioning the Vodazar reason. And then it never really concludes. What it does have is it has around a page and a half of very excellent musr, of ethical teachings trying to tell you how valuable it is to learn Torah and how good you can spend your time doing other things. Among some of the famous phrases there is we have, let's say, v'hiyi tebo yom v'layla, that you should, you know, learn it day and night. We have many other things about all of the positive levels you can gain from learning Torah, how it affects not just your learning, but everything else as well. A whole bunch of them. So the question then is, well, what happened there? We went from listing what we've just read but just now until into a Mosher Shmuz. Right? So what's going on here? So I'd like to suggest that what happened is that the Jews continuously were ignoring what the rabbis were telling them. The rabbis said, it's forbidden. The Jews were like, sure, Rabbi, I'll see you at the game later. Right? And that's what they did. Like, they did that, you know, they did it in the time of the Maccabees. They're doing that in the time of the Mishnah. Seemingly, they're doing it in the time of the Gemara, too, because the people giving the stories and the advice, it's not by Tanaim anymore. It's by Tanaim and Moraim. So seemingly, they've been having to say this to the people to try and tell them, you know, please come to, you know, this Shabbos, please make sure you show up on time to shul. Like, I know there's a game. I know there's a show, but like, please, guys, like, just please. And, you know, and some showed up, some didn't. And that was, you know, that's how it went. But that doesn't mean that the rabbis are happy about it. So as far as we're seeing the rabbis not being happy about it, so we have another Gemara. So this one is from the Jerusalem Talmud, which was written again. So the Babylonian Talmud was finished being written around 500 CE. But the Jerusalem Talmud, which was published, which was written in Israel, is post written in Babel, which is, you know, modern day Iraq. So again, it was like 100 years or so earlier. So there we have an interesting statement of why was here. So this is source number 5. So why was the city of Tor Shimon destroyed? Some say because of licentiousness, and some because they said they play ball. You know, and some versions say on Shabbos. So, right? So, and why would that be? So, right? So the Korban Eda's version, right? He's a commentary again much later. He's in the 18th century. So, fast forward a bit, but he's explaining what are the two reasons that he could think of why a city would be destroyed for playing ball. Either they played ball on Shabbos, and therefore they were violation of Shabbos and that did them in, or that they were wasting their days and didn't learn Torah like our Gemara we just had. So seemingly the Gemara says that cities were destroyed over this. Yet, on the other hand, we see, it's, you know, I'm pretty sure that all of us can quote examples of when they went to a ball game or a show with their school, with their shul, with their rabbi and all of his friends were also rabbis, right? The minyan they davened at, all the kosher food they had, right? You know, like, what's going on here? So, that's a good question. So we have all these statements saying that it would have been bad, and seemingly that it's a problem. So now we're going to have to try and see a few more examples of why it was bad, and why we still kept doing what we did anyways. So now let's skip on down to, okay, so source number 8, I'll explain it outside. So this is stating how there's, in terms of contributions to, again, also for the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, and the Mishnah there, saying you're not supposed to, you know, to the public works projects. Jews shouldn't donate to anything that'll lead to their deaths. You know, we only pay in our taxes to, you know, building of things that are helpful for everybody, like bathhouses or storehouses, or the king, but we wouldn't pay into one that's attached to a executioner scaffold, stadium or a tribune. Those we don't pay money, we will not pay our taxes for that, because, well, we're not going to pay them to kill us. That just seems kind of dumb. So, right? So, like, you don't pay to refurbish the, you know, the guillotine. Like, you're not paying for that. Like, so that's a no-go. So, in terms of you're wondering, like, how deep-rooted this was in terms of this being against people being upset with the attendance of of the stadiums. So we're I apologize for a little bit of the jumping around in history wise, but it'll hopefully make sense. So there's something called Targum Pseudo-Jonathan, which is a commentary on the Torah. Back in the day, they used to read the Torah first in Hebrew and then in translation into Aramaic. They still do this if you go to Yemenite shul. All right, Jews from Yemen, they do it to this very day. So if you want to see the next solid practice, then do so. So the one that we're familiar with is Unkus, right? So that's the one from Babylonia, but there's also other versions written in Israel. One of those is Targum Pseudo-Jonathan, or also known as Targum Yerushalmi. So there, on the verse of, cursed should be in your comings and your goings, that's source 9 and source 10. So he expands, well, what do you mean by cursed in your comings and goings? Cursed shall you be in attending the theaters and circuses to negate the words of Torah. And cursed are you for going out to do business on Shabbos. So the two things that whoever was writing this, again, in the second or third century, roughly the time, a little bit later than the Mishnah, what they were angry about and rebuking the people while they were translating the Torah portion was, why are you all going to theaters and circuses and negating the words of the Torah, as well as doing business on Shabbos, right? So the two big evils, right? Business on Shabbos, doing your business on Shabbos, and that you're going to the theater, right? So that seems to be placing it pretty high up there in the level of seriousness. So we're going to skip to source 12, then go back to source 11. So we'll get there just a second, right? So source 12, we have a similar thing. So here, this is when Rut is walking back to Naomi, where Naomi is trying to tell her that you should go home to your parents. Don't come with me, to Israel because I'm poor. I can't help. I can't provide for you. And Rut is saying, no, I'm going to go with you no matter what. So from here, actually, we learn a lot of the laws of conversion. So, but in this version, in Rut Rabbah, right, which is the Midrashic commentary on Megillat Rut, so it has something different here. At this point, it's using laws of conversion. So it's part of the list of what you need. So it says, so my daughter, so here's part of the laws of conversion. So again, we're in source number 12, three lines in. So my daughters of Israel, don't attend theaters and circuses of the non-Jew. To which Ruth responded, where you go, I'll go. Naomi said, my daughter, Israelites don't live in a house without a mezuzah. Ruth said, where you sleep, I'll sleep. Your nation is my nation. Right? The word said, Amech Ami. So that indicates that we believe in reward and punishment. And then Elkai Chalokai is the rest of the mitzvah. So as far as the short crash course of what it is to be a Jew, one of the things you say is, right, so again, so we say you talk about mezuzah. Okay, that's a pretty big, people, that's a pretty visible mitzvah. They've got, that God rewards and punishes you for doing the right or the wrong thing. Right, we've got the rest of the mitzvah, and then we have it on its own. But the first thing mentioned is you can't go to the theater anymore. So it's like, what? Right, so clearly, at the time that Rut Rabbah was written, as well as at the time of the Targumim in Eretz Yisrael, clearly there was this very strong sentiment of the Jews should not be doing these things. If you're wondering about, to the extent of whether the Jews knew that this was happening or not, and the rabbis were wise to the problem that happened there, so for this we have a interesting story in Bereishit Rabbah. If you'd like to hear more about it, please join me on Sunday nights, 8:15, where I explore Midrash. This is a Midrash of Parshat Vayeshev, which we'll be doing in a week and a half. Not this Sunday, Sunday afterwards. But again, link is listed there for you to use to join on Sunday nights at 8:15. So again, here's just one slice of it. So we have Rish Lakish trying to calm down Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, look, Rabbi, we need to thank the nations of the world for bringing mimes into their theaters and circuses and performing for them so they don't come to talk each other and get into meaningless fights. Right? So he's saying, you shouldn't be upset. What happens when you go to shul instead of watching the game is you get into fights. That's what happens. And that's okay. But you have to, like, forgive the guy. I know you got into a fight with Yoshimona, and you give a bad Dvar Torah, you're upset. You know, the rabbi's Russian shul was just that bad, right? That, like, you know, you storm out in a huff. So, like, that's what happened, right? So it's like, but God, you can forgive him. Like, you know, come back. It's okay. Right? So, but again, you see from there that clearly the Chachamim knew what was going on in terms of the purpose of the games, right? It's done to entertain you so you don't get into fights, right? In case you're wondering where I got what I said before from, and, like, you know, besides, you know, the fact that it is listed in the history books, right? Rabbis knew it first, not a surprise. So if this is the case, so then it seems, you know, like I said before, you know, clearly, you know, the, you know, rabbis kept, you know, stating that it's no good, no good, no good. And then, you know, and the people ignored them. So the only thing, the only problem with that is that there's also sometimes when we see that the rabbis also allowed explicitly going, and in fact recommended you to go to the theater. So now we're in the Gemara and Shabbat, this is source 13. So, right, so it's talking about things you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So normally you're not allowed to do business on Shabbos and make calculations, but it's for charity or for communal needs, that's okay. But similarly, it says, by the way, we have again the last line there, that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in Rabbi Yochanan's name, one may go to theaters and circuses and basilicas to attend to communal affairs on the Shabbat. Right, so you're allowed to go if there's a public need for you to go. So what is that public need? And why is this suddenly allowed? So the answer to that is, well, it used to happen a lot of times. I mentioned before how this was done by the local governance in order to make everybody happy. So what they would often do is that what's the best way to bring up, you know, new laws and raise taxes, let's say, is by first I'll give you a show. And then I'll say, by the way, you've raised taxes, and you'll be okay with it because I just gave you a good show and you're so entertained and so happy. So in those cases, they're like, well, you have to make sure that you go to the show first. And you have to make sure that you're there. Because in case they vote on something, we want to make sure that we're presented. We're not, even though in general, you know, you shouldn't go to a game. It's a waste of time. But if it's the only way you can be able to get a seat to be able to vote, it's worth it. In case you're wondering, you know, do we act like, you know, what then halacha at the end of the day? So I'd like to point out that if you were to look in the Shulchan Aruch, you would find no mentioning of the Isser of Moshe of Leitzin. If you were to look in, right, if you look at any tractate, right, in any of the normal halacha codes you think look at, they don't quote it. They don't. Right? The Rif leaves it out. So what's going on? So, and as far as, let's say, the Rambam, who's, you know, known for quoting basically everything, so what does he quote? He only quotes the exception. You're allowed to go to the theater if, you know, to all these gathering places, if it's needed for public need, even on Shabbos. So, because it's the work of God. So seemingly, the only thing we see is that it's allowed. But that's not quite true, right? Because if you look here at Rashi, so Rashi quotes something a little bit different. He quotes on the verse of, you know, don't walk in their ordinances. So it says that again, quoting the, you know, the right, see the sources here, Gemara Shabbos, Sifra, Tosefta, etc., that there's a problem of going to the theaters and the games. Some say just simply because it's forbidden, because it's something the non-Jews do, or potentially because it's the way of the Amorites, meaning it's simply a superstition. People only go to these things as superstitions, and that's it. So that seems to be a problem. But we then, so now, again, now we're fast forward. Now, so then we then fast forward a couple hundred years. So the next time when it's really relevant to being a spectator at a large sporting event. Right. So now we're in the 15th century. Right, and we're looking at Mahari Bruna. right? So this is an event in Germany talking about jousting. So, is the plan to finish by 9:15 or by 9:30? Sorry, 9:15. Sorry, we've got 5 minutes, so never mind. I'll wrap it up. Okay, sorry. Time got away from me.
Take as long as you want.
Okay, so let me know, okay? Because I really.
What time do you want me to tell you?
I'm almost done. So I'll read the last couple outside. So we'll be done by 9:15. Okay. Somebody wants to stay afterwards. I'm happy to read it more in depth, but I'll read these last three outside. Okay. So here he's commenting on whether or not you're allowed to go watch the sport, the jousting event. And he says, again, which is basically, you know, similar, you know, riding on horses and horse racing and jumping and things like that. So he mentions that, you know, why you let it go. And the reason he gives, he says, there's no problem of, we said before, of the Gemara of Rodazara, visiting the theater. Why? Because doing so is a business venture, right? Why are you going? You're not going because, you know, for entertainment. You're going because, look, apparently people make money doing this, racing horses, breeding horses, selling them. Entertainment business, so you want to get into it, and that's why you did it. So in fact, you know, like whether or not that so that's seemingly the heter to do so. And as far as is that followed people, the answer is yes, it is. The most recent triple crown, two times ago triple crown winner in 2015, American Pharoah was actually owned by a Jewish family, the Zayats. So in case you're wondering, did the Jews, you know, go to watch the game and then make a business out of it? The answer is, well, yes, they did. Similarly, you could say that all the various sports teams that are owned by Jews, can you go watch? They made money off of it, therefore it's okay. But we'll see whether we really buy that or not. So as far as the person who didn't buy that whatsoever, we have Moshe Feinstein. So Moshe Feinstein, right, somebody asked the question, well, Rashi says, it's an issue for what they come up to, right? It's a problem of following the ways of the Gentiles. Right? And it says you should go to the stadium. So how do I go? I've been going to the ball game, you know, like, you know, and watching the game. Like, wait, can I have to stop going to the game? So Ramosha says, don't worry. You're not in violation of Chukotechem Otelechu, of a non-Jewish law. Like, Jews, the non-Jews do this because I think you have to go. Now, we know why they're going. They're going because it's fun. It's entertaining. So don't worry. You're not in violation of that. Instead, you've got something worse. So it is forbidden here. So now we are in source 17. It is forbidden because of the prohibition of seat of the scorners, and all who go to violate the prohibition of seat of the scornful and wasting time from learning, not just on this time, but it will cause you to completely stop from the learning of Torah, as is explained there in the Gemara Avodah Zarah. So Ramosha Feinstein is taking the explanation and the muster given in Gemara Avodah Zarah very seriously. Even more, and it's curious, you said the argument of, oh, no, ours aren't so bad. They're fine, right? This was written in the 50s, right? So, you know, right? So maybe it's not so bad what we do nowadays. You know, 50s, 60s, right? No, the answer is that no. Even more so, the theaters that can be found in our country and the sports stadiums, even in other countries, that people simply go to do without connection to idol worship. It seems to me that the pastors of the Christian church, which is the majority of the religion in the United States of America, also frown upon matters of theaters and stadiums. Also, for those who believe in Muhammad, right, Islam, which is the religion of the countries of Turkey and all Arab countries, also frown upon it. So if so, in the majority of countries where the theaters and stadium are found, there's no connection to the religions. So there's no issue of do not walk in their ways. They are forbidden because of Moshev Leitzim and Bittul Torah, right? See the scornful and wasting your time. There's also a severe prohibition to incite evil inclination of illicit urges to oneself, because most of them place of profanity and incites licentiousness. So this is Moshev Feinstein writing in the 20th century from the Lower East Side, a short train ride away from, or walk even, from several large sporting arenas. And these are some very harsh words. So what do we do with what Moshe says? So the answer is, we do kind of what I said before earlier, is that, well, yes, he said this. The people never listened to this. I know of several students of Moshe Feinstein who are very, very big Yankees fans, to say the least. Right? And so wait, so what's going on? So I'd like to point to one more source and then I'll give the conclusion. So again, this source is more a function of next week's one in terms of sports exercise on Shabbos. But here the question is, right? So normally, there's a problem of running on Shabbos because, you know, you can't run on Shabbos because you're supposed to be different on Shabbos than during the week. And we say, so therefore we said that, but if you do for a good reason, it's okay. And then we have this Sefer Mitzvot HaKtana, again, which is written in the, that was written in the 13th century. He mentions that young men who enjoy their running, their jumping, it is allowed. And similarly, to see that what you enjoy, it is similarly permitted to view. So we have, several hundred years. This is, you know, in the middle of the time frame. Again, sorry that I put this out earlier. Right? But I left it then for a reason. Right? So you see that there are instances where seemingly this should be completely forbidden. Yet here it is simply because it's enjoyable, we're allowing it. So what's going on? So I'd like to suggest that what's going on is that, yes, the rabbis have been upset at you wasting all of your time going to sporting events for the last over 2,000 years, right? Including the Chashuv Naim and the group of the rabbis in this case, right? They've been upset at you for doing so. They said you shouldn't. There's things you should be doing instead. Don't spend all your time being Hellenized and doing all that. Instead, what should you be doing? You should be doing things that God actually wants you to do. But what was the reaction of the people? They're like, I'm going to the game. See you later. So what do we do about that? So what we do about that is we simply have to say that what happened was at no point was this a prohibition of anything that's biblical. This was a rabbinic decree. So what you could say is this was a rabbinic decree. The rabbis decreed that this is a problem, that people were you know, being too involved with the culture surrounding them. And they said you shouldn't go. And then the people ignored them. So then they reformulated it saying, you know, you can go, but only under certain limited circumstances. And again, the people ignored them. And so on and so forth, that same thing occurred over the course of millennia, right? Well, whenever there was an outcome of this, rabbis would say, again, for different reasons why this is problematic, and they were ignored. So at no point is there actually a formal prohibition that actually went into effect of not being allowed to go to attend a sporting event. This simply was never gained traction. So then why did I spend all this time explaining this to everybody? So the reason why I spent all this time explaining it, the goal of explaining this to everybody was to teach you that there's actually a lot to be gained from the muster that we're given here, right? So the muster that we're given is that there are all of these various issues that come up, right? There's the issue of, right, of colonization. There's the issue of Bittul Talmud Torah. There's the issue of, you know, of wasting your time. There's the issue potentially of cruelty. There are all these various, and as well as leading you down, again, being a bad crowd that will lead to other bad things as well. So there's all these various different things that are problematic that can occur. But the important part is not whether or not you attend the game. The question is, what role does the game end up having in your life? If the game ends up becoming your life, then there's very little to redeem it, right? If you live for your sports or your theater, then you'll be an issue. That'll be an issue. If you abandon what you normally should be doing for the sake of the theater, the games, you're definitely in the wrong. But on the other hand, seemingly what has been concluded by the people, as opposed to by the rabbis, was that as long as I do what I need to do. I still show up. I do the mitzvah that I'm required of me. Right? As you see nowadays when they have kosher food and they have, minyanim at the games. There's something I do what I need to do. I'm allowed to, relax once in a while because I need that. And that's where we conclude. That sometimes, well, at least in regards to this one particularly, that yes, there's many potential problems with it. But assuming that, it's used in moderation and it's used as for betterment of your life as opposed to the detriment of it, there is room in the Jewish world for spectator sports and theater. Anybody have any questions?
I have a question. I presume that in the time of the Gemara and Rashi, all the athletes and all the actors were male. Today we have female gymnasts and swimmers and tennis players and a couple of actresses and singers. Are there any issues with that?
So potentially there would be, as is mentioned by Rav Moshe Feinstein in regards to the invitation to licentiousness. But it's not necessarily, but that would be like a side reason. That's not the primary one that we see here, right? So that reason, like that could create a separate problem. Like if, there's another issue of improper dress, that would be an additional reason that's a problem as opposed to the rest of them. Let's say, it used to be that all the, like there's more of a tangential reason why the problem, say like with theater being, right, they used to have that in the time of the Greeks, so that that the roles of women were played by men. So therefore, you the issue nowadays you have is like if you want to go to an opera or go to a Broadway show, the issues are like, what about Kalisha? Right, that's the question people ask. People don't ask, wait, can I go to the show? They ask, well, what about Kalisha? Right, or what if the costumes aren't seen? Is the question that are being asked, which is just to point out where we wound up. So as far as the, right, so then like those are ancillary, those are issues that don't quite relate to the fact that it's a show, but it means it's a side issue that yes, it would have to be addressed and dealt with. So like, would you be able to go to a show that's, extremely modest in that sense? That would be a problem. But again, that's a separate issue from our discussion. Does that answer the question, Mark? Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Comments? Okay. So, all right. So, again, so thank you very much for attending the first of this year's Fall Bet Midrash series. We will be continuing next week on Wednesday night at 8:15 p.m.
Thank you.
Say the topic for next week.
Well, next week's topic is exercise and sports on Shabbos, which we mentioned in passing now. We will get into more depth as to what the problems are next week, as well as a lot of the interesting cases that come up modern day as well.
Okay. Bye. Have a nice evening.
Take care, everybody.